Let's start with, obviously the Kraken started to build their team last night, but that's no longer the lead with Elliot Friedman and others reporting that essentially there is a deal in place for the Maple Leafs to trade Zach Hyman's rights to the Edmonton Oilers so that they can formalize a contract with Zach Hyman, perhaps as early as later today when the roster freezes post-expansion draft. That lifts at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Justin, we understand the Leafs' cap situation and some of the holes that they need to fill, but just how big a loss, now that it appears to be a 100% reality, how big a loss is Zach Hyman to the Maple Leafs?
It's huge, huge loss. I mean, there's so many nights over the past couple of years where you'd say, Zach Hyman was their best player, or Zach Hyman powered a line that didn't have anything going, or, they were trying to get a guy to play well, so they put him with Hyman. Like, he was their Mr. Fix-It. He, could do it all, killed penalties. He really was unbelievable for this team. Now, there's no doubt that the Leafs cannot give Zach Hyman 8 years times $6 million or whatever it's going to take, even eight times five to basically match what Edmonton's looking at doing. It's insane. So they got to let him go, but boy, it is significant.
Would you, before you jump in, Stewie, would you have done it, Justin, if you had the cap space?
Yeah.
See, that's the question, right? Like, yeah. I love Hyman too, but holy crap. I mean, 29, almost 30 with knee problems.
Like, I know. And, not a guy. He's got a good couple years here of scoring goals. But are you confident that Hyman at 34 is scoring 30 goals? What about 20? At 36? At 37? Like, it definitely will age poorly. But it is appealing to have him on a lower AAV or, when you're expecting to win, which is the McDavid and Draisaitl years, just like the Leafs window, which is supposedly the next few years.
Stewie.
Yeah, but what's upsetting is that everyone forgets that in this market, he is a $5.5 million player. And remember, out of that deal, he was severely underpaid for probably four of those years. So, everyone's saying he should take a hometown discount. Yeah, that's fine if he was making four and a half the last couple of years, but it's time to cash in. So I just don't like the fact that he was the hero and a couple months ago, and now it's like, get him out of town. He's not worth it. He earned every dollar. And I think the problem is now, it all comes back to four players making half of your cap, and you're going to be losing players like this. The next up is going to be Morgan Rielly if they don't find a way to adjust their cap and pay players accordingly.
Just before you jump in, Ziggy, Chris Johnston has just tweeted a further piece of information to Elliot Friedman's earlier report.
5.1.
There you go. So an 8-year contract for Hyman with the Oilers would come in just a shade under the $5.125 million AAV that the Nuge just signed with the Oilers. A 7-year contract for Hyman would be closer to the $5.5 million AAV range. So the question is then, how much is $300,000 to $400,000 per year in cap space worth to the Edmonton Oilers, Ziggy, in terms of a draft pick that they might trade the Maple Leafs?
Yeah, that's what I was going to wonder. What Justin and Stewie think that pick's going to come back? But for me, another thing is, do Leafs kick tires and kind of go to Hyman and say, what will it take to bring you back on? Like, I think at 4.5, the Leafs bring Hyman back. Do you guys think the Leafs even explore that option, Justin? Or is this just Canada 4.5? No, thank you.
Yeah, if you're saying if the Leafs went 8 years or something, could they get cheaper?
Do they at least inquire about it now? Like, they're saying if it's 5.1, what does it take? Do we give you all the money in the first 2 years all up front? Can we make that make that work?
Yeah, I definitely think that's something they would have to consider, because they can't be far off thinking it's viable. I just think the term is so terrifying. You just don't, if you're Ken Holland, it's like, this team needs to be good over the next few years, or Ken Holland's not going to have to care. It doesn't matter how long Zach Hyman's deal is. He's not going to be around for years 6, 7, and 8, so I'm sure he doesn't mind throwing an extra year on there and bringing the cap hit down for Hyman. But yeah, that number, the Leafs might have to consider it. And, to Stewie's point, would you rather have Rielly and Hyman than Marner? I don't know. Probably not. But boy, the conversations get interesting.
Yeah, any way you dice it, he's worth that money. He earned this contract. So I don't like the fact that, it's, let's run him out of town. He definitely earned it. On this team, yeah, he's worth $5.5 million. He's a top six forward. His underlining numbers are really, really good. You know, he makes his teammates better. He drives a line when he gets bumped down to, middle six. So he's definitely earned that payday. He's earned that payday. So, you know, you got to give him a little respect. You can't be like, hey, nice to know you. You know, see you on the 35th of February, because he's a quality player. And I think for those 5 years, he's going to be doing really, really well. So if you're in the window right now to win a Stanley Cup, which the Leafs should be, you should take that deal and find a way to make the dollars and cents work, because he's a big part of this core. And Ziggy, I've heard you and I've heard Scotty Mac say, you know what, he's part of the core. He is part of the core. So I just don't like the fact that now it's like, yeah, you know what, see you later. It's going to be hard to replace. And he's one of those players. Once he's gone, you're going to know the true effect of Zach Hyman with this Toronto Maple Leafs team.
But I would also say that Morgan Rielly is part of the core. And the problem is his contract's up in a year, and you can't continually let guys walk.
Give him his 7-for-7. If not, there's a big, big problem. And that's what I'm saying, is when you have the $40 million tied into four, Rielly's going to get his $49 million. We talked about it, too. Justin. We said, what was the number that Hyman was going to pump out? Probably $40 million, a combination of how many years. He's probably going to get his $40 million. Same thing with Rielly. He's going to get his $49
million. Okay, so Rielly's going to get $49 over 7. Let's just say this, 7 times 7. Is that a deal the Leafs should give him, or is that a deal another team is going to give him and the Leafs should aim higher?
The Leafs give him that, or you find a way to get Dougie Hamilton. So if you're planning on getting Dougie Hamilton and giving him 8-for-8, or sorry, 7-for-8, or whatever, something like that, yeah, then you let Rielly walk. But you can't let Rielly walk and Hyman walk, big pieces of this core walk, and not have suitable replacements. You can't. It's you're walking around in circles, and it's just going to be tough to compete and get past the first one.
Yeah, it's tough to look at, this roster. You know, they just made a great move to not lose anything in the expansion draft, but it's tough to look at how they're going to be better than they were, and we know they weren't good enough, so that's concerning.
With Stewie and Bourne, it's Hockey Central a little after 8:30, and I'm keeping my microphone off when I'm not talking because the fire alarm is going in the background. So, Stewie, if you're hearing beeping, it's not that your space shuttle's in trouble.
That's
Jeff Bezos. Yeah.
To fix the Canada.
I'm entering the Earth's atmosphere now, but I'm re-entering.
Don't hit the eject button. Everything is okay. Ziggy.
Red Bull gives you wings.
Just thoughts on the forward group with Seattle. What do you guys, Justin, what are your initial thoughts when you see this collection of names, especially compared to what Vegas did a couple years ago?
I think that ESPN had to, go into last night and be like, all right, we're back in the game. What do we got? Fireworks. And then they got nothing. They got absolutely no reward for getting back into the NHL. It was really uneventful. And man, they took no risks. I want to say they took less than no risks. I don't even know. It was the safest possible route, not taking Vladimir Tarasenko. To me, it's something when you just, I don't know who's going to score on this team. I guess Yanni Gord is going to score when he comes back from surgery. I think they could have taken a few more risks. I'm surprised there were no deals. I understand that there's lots to be unveiled later today, or some to be unveiled later today, but I was pretty uninspired by how Ron Francis wasn't able to use his leverage to get any picks, any assets from anyone.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of these players are depth players, and I could see two or three of these forwards getting flipped for maybe some quality roster players too, right? Because And I think the main thing was they wanted to, get some cap space and some flexibility. So I wouldn't be surprised if they make some moves. But guys like Yanni Gord, 20, 25 goals. Appleton can score 20. Jordan Eberle can run some numbers as well. So, again, I think they're probably going to make a bigger splash in free agency. But right now, the forward group's a little bit underwhelming. But they got great goaltending and great defense. So that's a good start.
Do you think, guys, Justin, start with you, and then Stewie and Ziggy jump in whenever you like. Do you think this resets the expectation for what an expansion franchise is and will be in years one or two? Or is it really just quite the same and we'll see how it plays out? Because I don't think anybody had the Vegas Golden Knights going to the Stanley Cup final when we first looked at their roster right after their expansion draft in their first season.
No, I think Seattle's going to be solid because their decor is really, really good. Like, there's not much weakness there. So, and again, the bottom of their roster is not going to be too terrible, right? They don't have any garbage players or bad contracts, so they'll be all right. But I just think What happened was Ron Francis went to all these GMs and said, you know, you saw what happened in Vegas. Here's what we're asking to, you know, protect the player you want. It was way too high. And then Francis didn't want to be the guy who, you know, gets at the 11th hour says, okay, fine, we'll just do it for a third round pick or something. And it looks like he's someone you can outwait. So he accepted nothing. I think he played his hand too aggressively. And I think he had to dig in at the end and he got nothing to show for it. I think he played it poorly.
Yeah, I think the one thing that's going to save them this year is that they're in that Pacific Division, and there's not really any high expectations for the Anaheims and the LAs and the San Jose Sharks. So with them there, I think they have a chance to make the playoffs. But I think right now the jury is going to be out on the analytics crew. I think there's a lot of analytics that went into building these rosters. Some underwhelming names, but they have some good underlining numbers. So all those Twitter keyboard warriors, they're probably going to be loving the fact that these guys are going to have these good underlining numbers. But at the end of the day, it's about wins and losses. So it's going to be interesting to see. But I could see them maybe possibly squeaking into the playoffs just because they got some good veteran players on the back end and great goaltending.
Yeah, I think they're going to make moves. I don't think they're done outside of Eberle. I don't really don't know where the scoring's coming from. Donskoy, maybe a little bit. I think Blackwell will be a good third line center, but
it's Donskoy. Yeah. Donskoy.
Oh, sorry. Oh, Donskoy.
Well, Sean Kemp. According to Sean Kemp, like.
Yeah, how about some
Sean
of
Kemp
those?
Sean Kemp wore my T-shirt like yesterday. I was like, what was that? Extra medium there? What was that? Sean Kemp, the Rain Man. Like,
Sean Kemp.
That's the schmedium.
Yeah, Kemp enjoyed a few grilled cheeses later in his playing career, too. Man. So he's just sort of carried it over. I mean, that didn't start yesterday.
I think teams, I really think it's as simple as teams and general managers learned a lot from what happened with Vegas. And they're just like, you know what? We're not overpaying to protect assets. I really don't think there's a lot more to it. I'm sure there was a lot of poker games going on with, you know, calling each other's bluffs on who they wanted to take, the whole thing around Carey Price. I didn't think it was a good move if Seattle would have picked up Price. I think he's one of the best in the league, but at that number, if you're trying to max your cap space, I don't think that would have been a good move for Seattle. But yeah, totally different situation this year, you know, with Seattle than with Vegas. But the Tarasenko one was a big one for me. But I just don't know. They're going to be competitive. I just don't know who they go after if they're trying to save cap space at this point. Like, I don't know what the plan is. And right. Obviously, if you look at what Ron Francis had to do, Tarasenko is a big one. Giordano, they're talking about going to New York, but we had Bruce Boudreau on. Like, they brought him in. Are you going to flip a player that you brought into the city? Like, that just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, no, you're right. The fact that he was actually there makes it hard to believe they're just going to flip him right away. I didn't even consider that. But just looking at, you know, right now, it's like, okay, they've talked about this cap space and they're going to weaponize their cap space. If they go out and sign Gabriel Landeskog, pretty cool. I can understand that. You know, if they go out and get Dougie Hamilton, that makes some sense to me. Okay, like now we're talking, just trying to figure out what they can do to salvage to make me better understand their draft. Another one might be going to Tampa Bay and say, you still have cap issues. You know, you had Kaloran unprotected. What's it going to take to help us get him out of there too? What else, you know, what do we have to do to make that happen? Like, so I'm not saying that this is done poorly in total yet, but just knowing what we know so far, it looks uninspired. We'll see how that plays out in the days to come.
Yeah, but I think the prime example is, you know, how what Ron Francis did in Carolina. He did it. It was a slow build, and now they're just reaping, you know, the fruits of his labor, you know, now. And it was like 4, 5, 6 years it took for it to come to fruition. So I think he's going to go the opposite route of the Vegas Golden Knights, where the way that they're doing it, they're trying to go for it every single year. They're stepping on all the toes, not sparing any expense, getting rid of all veteran guys. So I think it's going to have a long-term effect in Vegas. They're going to do it slowly but surely and worry about the long run in Seattle.